Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And also want to remind you that we are on SoundCloud and Facebook. And of course, we're coming at that moment again where the United States is looking at the police brutality in the case of that gentleman in Minnesota, who was the policeman killed him by putting his knee on his neck. The trial is starting today. And it couldn't be a more appropriate time than to be interviewing, as we're going to do, Day Trang Nguyen, who put together the book, The Black Race by Ho Chi Minh, and selected works on systemic racism. And Ho Chi Minh was a very wise observer of American colonialism, imperialism, and racism, all of which he said was one ball of wax. We're joined here by Phil Conlon of Classical Underground, Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good evening, Phil. Glad to be here.
Phil, I should bring us our listeners up to date on there's news of from the Rusa Sabagina trial. And we talked about this, and we're going to keep on talking about it because it's something that Canadians need to follow. Canadians were very much involved in the events of 1994, Rwanda, and we're still feeling the aftershock of the war and the massacres that took place. Paul Rusa Sabagina, to repeat, is the figure in the movie, central person in the film Hotel Rwanda, and it's based on his experiences as the manager of a hotel during that war and conflagration in which the 1,200 people were basically his responsibility, and they all safely emerged from that great catastrophe. But years have gone by, and Paul Rusa Sabagina is an outspoken person, an honest person, and he did not care to go along with the promotion of the new government of Paul Kagame of the RPF. And the RPF made it their business to try to destroy him. And very recently, the end of August, they kidnapped him. We've reported on that. And the last time we talked about the Rusa Sabagina case, the emphasis was on the fact that he was illegally removed from Dubai through a very sophisticated state-run deception. Paul Rusa Sabagina got aboard a plane that took him and the gentleman who had deceived him, posing as a friend, delivered him to the government of Rwanda, and he's now been put on trial. He very correctly defends himself by saying to that court that they have no authorization to try him. He's brought there against his will. And he is not a Rwandan, he's a Belgian citizen. And on the Taylor Report, we've discussed it. We agreed with him. Many others have spoken up. David Himbara and others have underlined that this is how the Kagame government operates, although the Canadian government refuses to say anything about it. And the U.S. government the same way. And this is, you know, illegal rendition of Paul Rusa Sabagina. Now, so in other words, he's illegally brought there by deception. It's a police operation. Now, Paul rightly has decided he will not attend court because he has seen additional information was that he's not allowed to speak to his lawyers except under conditions where he has no notes and papers. His papers are not, he's not able to keep his documents secure. The authorities go through his documents. The Attorney General of the country admitted it, that they read his documents. So he's not appearing in court. Of course, the trial is going on because it's a show trial. And something did happen that I really hope that the listeners of the Taylor Report are paying attention to and following, because we have another kind of police element that should give everyone a little chill. A woman from California, she teaches Cal State Fullerton, has appeared as a witness for the prosecution. And she gave an account of how she came to know Paul Rusesabagina. She had worked her way into as a sort of volunteer, as somebody who pretended to be sympathetic to Paul Rusesabagina. She's trained in social work and claimed to have an interest in refugees. During her testimony, she mentioned that she is a registered agent of the Rwandan government. Registered. And she didn't share that with people she was meeting, of course. And we know, and I ask you to check David Himbara's site for background on this, $5,000 a month. And what she was doing was, her work was researching the Rwandan diaspora, which means that she was going around interviewing, getting herself introduced where she could, or tracking everybody on the net and collecting all their information. And part of her job was, of course, to get to know, if she could, and try to make herself part of the circle of around Paul Rusesabagina, who has a foundation that he was established in his name because of his fact that he was a public figure. And it was a good way to bring out the truth about Rwanda, and it's also a way to help Rwandans in the diaspora and elsewhere. So we have a police agent testifying, and Rwandan, she worked for Rwanda and she operated in the United States, and she talked to people and sought information, their information. Now that's the kind of thing which Canada claims to be very interested in. And the United States certainly claims it doesn't like that sort of thing. They make sure that they criminalize and arrest people for that sort of activity and charge them with being, you know, being up to no good. If they are, say, from Cuba or China or Russia, some such place. But in this case, nothing has happened. She's going about her business. It should be, listeners should know that there are plenty of people now speaking up who encountered her. And here's the main memory of two or three of them, and particularly one, a very important commentator on matters to do with Rwanda, a man who was the former ambassador, Paul Kagame's ambassador to the United States. He was in the inner circle of the RPF. That's not disputed. His name is Rudasingwa. He's been a guest on the Taylor Report, we're proud to say. Rudasingwa said that she was looking to introduce people like himself to third parties who wanted to talk about matters which would be criminal in nature. In other words, it was, we all know this from anybody who studied operations against the Black Panthers, against Martin Luther King, against Malcolm X, against political leaders of the left in the United States. People come along and say, oh, I want you to meet this guy. He likes you very much. And he really, this guy is a tiger. He really wants to do it, which invites you into situations where you will be recorded, or they try to pass money to you, or they try to engage you. And there are numbers of people saying this who did encounter Dr. Michelle Martin. Curious person. She has a blog. I don't know if it still operates. It's called Aging While Naked or something like that. And it's on the blog, she talks about how she likes to spy on people, actually. Whatever, she says it's a habit she wants to break. But she meets people and she starts doing, collecting their information to find out where, you know, who they know, where they live, and she keeps it. And as she told the court, of course, she did this. But in her blog, she's talking about her curiosity about ex-boyfriends and ex-husbands and some and all that. That's the caliber of witness that they have brought against Paul Roussos Abagnale. She, by the way, didn't have anything to say that really bore on the accusation that he was directly leading and financing a so-called terror group in Congo and Rwanda. And again, I'll just tell you that she did say, or they, others who will not ever, of course, Rudasingwa, Mr. Rudasingwa cannot go to Rwanda and stand in front of that court and say, by the way, she lied to me and she did this and this, because, I mean, he himself is in danger, just as David Himbara is in danger. So what we're watching is basically a kangaroo court situation, except in this case, the kangaroo pulled a spy out of its pouch and put it in front of the world. You can watch her testimony. I would invite you to do it. To know more about all this, please go to the website, pardon, the Twitter of C. Kanimba, that's the daughter of Paul Roussos Abagnale, or to Kitty Kurth. She's based in Chicago, worked with Paul Roussos Abagnale. Of course, go to David Himbara. And there's also the Great Lakes Post, glpost.com, for a lot of information on this. Now, there's also been a development I want to share with listeners, which is pretty dramatic. A new book is coming out, and it's by Michelle Rong. She's a journalist with 30 years in journalism, very distinguished British journalist. And she's written a book called Do Not Disturb, in which she tells about the assassination of individuals who were critical of Paul Kagame. And Do Not Disturb refers to the what was found on the door of a hotel in South Africa where the body of one of Paul Kagame's critics, Patrick Kigeo, was found on January 1st, 2014. Patrick Kigeo, by the way, was also a guest on the Taylor Report, and we're very proud we spoke to him, and it's a great tragedy, great loss that he was murdered. And the leaders of Rwanda kind of cackled when that happened. I don't think they will cackle when they read Michelle Rong's book. And here's the subtitle from the Spectator's Review, the review done by Nicholas Shakespeare. And it is titled, well, I'll give you the whole title, The Making of a Monster, Paul Kagame's Bloodstained Past. And it says, Rwanda's president has been widely feted as the man who ended the genocide, but he may also have started it, according to Michelle Rong. And that book, Do Not Disturb, is due out very shortly. And I'll just tell you a couple of highlights. Is that she interviewed Rudasingwa, as I mentioned, and as well as Patrick Karagea. And so, of course, she was shocked when Patrick Karagea was murdered, just as we were. But Patrick Karagea told her that they had murdered Seth Sendashonga, the first minister of the interior of the under the Paul Kagame, but he was a Hutu who refused to keep quiet about the murder of Hutu civilians after they seized power. He also said that they had murdered Laurent Kabila of Congo. And that's a one of great, much more significance in terms of the Great Lakes region. And he said unequivocally, we did it. Also, Rudasingwa, in an interview with her, said that he had been part of the inner circle, and that, yes, he affirmed they had killed President Habyarimana, which is why she says in her book, Paul Kagame would be responsible for starting, not ending, ending is important, starting the genocide. At any rate, that's our report on the Rusa Sabatina case. This is the Tater Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. We have an interview coming up, and we'll be back with that shortly.